Now you can go back and sit down if you want to. Thank you very much. I'd like to call your attention to the book of Matthew, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And then came John, and had his raiment as camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." I want you, as we begin this tremendous camp meeting here in Ohio, to go to the Word of God with me this evening and join me in taking a revival trip with John the Baptist. The kind of preaching that John the Baptist did is the kind of preaching which America needs today. John the Baptist was one of those heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, and shotgun barrel straight preachers. And I'm thankful for the new manuscript that they discovered over there in one of those caves in Arabia, where there's a translation that says John the Baptist came from the wilderness, preaching it heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, and shotgun barrel straight. John the Baptist was a fearless, loving preacher. He's referred to as John the Baptist at least 15 times in the English Bible, referred to as John on several occasions. But he was interesting to deal with and learn about even from before his birth. In the book of Luke, we have some powerful, powerful material about John the Baptist. The promise was given to Zacharias and Elizabeth that they would have a son. And you remember at the very thought that he was going to have something to do with the future Messiah, he leaped in his mother's womb, being filled from the Spirit and with the Spirit then. That should tell us something about this dastardly thing of abortion that we're doing and committing here in the United States of America. Then we go on through the ministry of John the Baptist, we find out how humble he was, how dedicated he was, how consecrated he was. He said, "I'm not the one that would come, but I'm sent as a new ground plow." He said, and he was fulfilling prophecies from Malachi 3 and the book of Isaiah chapter 40. He said that he was a voice crying in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, we need some voices crying in the wilderness today. We need voices crying in the wilderness as far as our nation is concerned. I was just reading just in the Sunday paper how that Satan, one blow after another, is attacking our freedom and trying to destroy us and trying to relegate us to the heap of destruction that has befallen nations that came before us. Here in Albany, New York, is an article about the school board trying to decide whether to eliminate Christmas holidays and resurrection holidays, and because they have to grant holidays to the Buddhists, the Jews, the Hindus, and the Christians. Back over on Delmarva, not long ago, because of a Jewish lady from the Jewish Fellowship in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, we almost lost our radio program. From practically the same corner The Indian River School District in Delaware is having to put up a lot of the taxpayers' money to fight a case that was brought against a Jewish individual that was alleging that her child was discriminated against because that child was in a service where the name of Jesus Christ was mentioned. Brothers and sisters, I believe that we're going to have to determine that we're in a battle. We're in a battle. It's a life or death battle. And our nation is not going to be spared. We want our nation to be spared. We love our nation. But the church is where we're going to have to focus our attention. The body of Christ, the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord. We're going to have to be dedicated and consecrated to the Lord's kingdom, to the Lord's church. And we're going to have to take some lessons from this powerful evangelist, which we call John the Baptist. As I look at John, take a drink of this water. Bless your heart. I'm getting old. I have to have a drink of water every once in a while. A windmill run by water. All right. If you followed the preaching of John the Baptist, if you took a trip with him, a revival trip, you would hear preaching on the subject of repentance. When John the Baptist came, and it's interesting how that the Bible says, then came John the Baptist. That very thought there thrills me. Then came John the Baptist. Then was not coming a limp wrist. He wasn't a pink pantyhose pablum preaching compromiser. He never had a soft bone in his body. He was firm and true, and when he came, he was coming as a preacher. Then came John the Baptist. I thank God when we have those kind of men that will come to the platform. I'm thankful for those kind of men that are in our pulpits. But I'm afraid they're being filled more and more by limp-wristed, compromising, please everybody, mama's boys. And what we need today are some old-fashioned John the Baptist that'll preach it heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, and shotgun barrel straight. May God raise up a generation of preachers that'll stand in the pulpits and bring about a revival, a restoration of original biblical New Testament Christianity to the churches and to our country. As I look back here, the Bible says in the third chapter of the book of Matthew that John the Baptist came and he said, repent. He went on and followed with something I want to deal with a little later, but his message was primarily zeroed around repentance. He said, repent. That word repent means to be sorry for your sins. It means to recognize your sin. It means to turn from your sin. John's message was repentance. He was preaching to a nation that was corrupt and a nation that needed repentance. Those long robe, frock, tail, collar, turned around backwards, hypocritical Pharisees came out to his baptism. And he looked at them. And the people were wondering, what will John the Baptist say about the ministerial association coming out here to inspect and see what's happening? John looked at them. And he said, you generation of vipers. He said, you generation of snakes. Friends, he hated to have to call them snakes. He hated to have to give them such a shock treatment. But the nation was in such a lull. They were so stupefied by the influences of the world, they needed something to wake them up. And John said, you generation of vipers, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits for repentance. And don't come to my baptism unless you repent. And don't tell me that you're the seed of Abraham, because I'll tell you something, that God is able of these stones to raise up seed to Abraham. Thank God for a preacher like John that preached repentance. And may we have 1,000 of them, 10,000 that'll start preaching repentance instead of what the people want to hear, what they need to hear, to repent, turn from sin, turn from unrighteousness, turn back to God, turn to the principles of the Word of God. I was thinking, about the great tragedies of our beloved country. What's it going to take to get our country to repent? They witnessed that terrible tragedy in New York City. A little sputter here and there, but no repentance. I believe that America is so far gone in sin that if tonight the entire city of New York was wiped off of the map, People would keep on lying. They'd keep on stealing. The homosexuals would keep on sinning. The fornicators would keep on fornicating. The gamblers would keep on gambling. Our hearts are hard, but the message is repent. And America needs to be told to repent of killing innocent babies. Repent of her gambling. Repent of her incestuousness. Repent of all of her sins. And John the Baptist said to the Jews, he said, repent. That was his message, to turn from sin. And our country needs to turn from sin, but the church needs to turn from sin. At such a time as this, the church has a tremendous opportunity. But the church is bogged down sometimes with the sins of the world. You have the sins of the world in the church. And it's all right for the church to be in the world. But when the world starts getting in the church, it's time to have an old-fashioned revival. Someone said it's one thing for a ship to be in the sea, but when the sea starts getting in the ship, it's time to bail. And I submit that in the modern restoration movement, it's time to bail. It's time to get rid of this sin and mediocrity and get our backbone bristled up and stand firm once again as the old restoration fathers did for one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one church, and tell that to a lost and to a dying nation. As we followed John the Baptist, he was a faithful preacher on the subject of repentance. I heard there was an old preacher back in the old days when they used to have regular revivals. And we need to return back to that today. It's a desperately needed thing. He would hunt all day. He wore a coonskin hat, had an old rusty musket. He would hunt, come in before the service, prop his old rusty musket up in the corner, put the coonskin hat over the barrel, and get up and he'd take his text from Luke 13. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, he shook hands with the people, went out, hunted all the next day, the next night, propped that old rusty musket up in the corner, and put his coonskin hat over the barrel. He said, I'm preaching from Luke 13:3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He did it every single night to the end of the revival. One of the elders came to him and said, preacher, we appreciate that sermon, but my, preach something else. He said, thank you. He got up and told the people what the elder had said. And he said, I believe in one thing at a time. He propped his old rusty musket up in the corner, put his coonskin hat over the barrel, and preached again to them, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. My friends, the churches of Christ need preaching on repentance. We're trying to reach out and to restore the church. People that have various religious and denominational backgrounds, we want to share with them the message of simply taking the Bible only and being a Christian only. But when they come in, we don't want them to sit with a bunch of hypocrites that are half dedicated and half consecrated. If they have been influenced by the uniqueness of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, don't bring them in to sit under teaching and preaching that is watered down. And it's going to take repentance and a dedication to get back to God to turn this situation around. Thank God for preachers like old John the Baptist. Then, if we followed John the Baptist, we'd not only hear preaching Dick on repentance, we'd hear preaching on the kingdom of God. John the Baptist said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, of course, we have been updated through what happened at Calvary in the New Testament. And Colossians and Thessalonians teaches that we have been translated into the kingdom. I know that the millennialists are talking about some future kingdom, and that theology is going to get us hurt if we're not careful. That theology is liable to get us drug into a war. Wouldn't it be terrible to be on either side of the battle lines in Israel and Lebanon? On both sides, neither one on praying terms with Jehovah God. Both of them antichrist, denying that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. What a tragic thing. And here, it may be that someday our boys and our girls will have to shed blood to clean up a mess that they're responsible for. But it is a shame that people have such a misconception of the kingdom. The kingdom now is the Lord's church. And you can obey the gospel and be in the kingdom. And when John was preaching, my, he came preaching in the wilderness. He ate locusts and wild honey. Terry, did you ever eat locusts? I've eaten honey, but I've never tried a locust. He was covered with a leather girdle. And he preached those revivals and camp meetings out on the Jordan River. He was all wool and a yard wide, tougher than a pine knot. He was strong in the Lord. When people went out to hear John the Baptist, they went out to hear a preacher. They went out to hear a preacher's preacher. Not a little soft preaching mama's boy. May God hasten the day that these mama's boys are either be converted and start preaching the truth, or go back to mama and let the pioneers have the church over again one more time. As John said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He is referring to the establishment of the kingdom of God. And on the day of Pentecost, that wonderful kingdom was established. The apostle Peter said, on the day of Pentecost, when they cried out and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." There may be some that are here tonight that need to, on the basis of your faith and repentance, at invitation time, come down and give your life to Jesus Christ by repenting and being immersed, baptized into Christ. And at the end of Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved." But John the Baptist heralded it all. In the book of Isaiah chapter 40, in Malachi chapter 3, in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 3, and in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist was laying the groundwork, getting people ready for the kingdom. And he gave his life for the kingdom. Now it's up to us to give our lives for the kingdom, set the right example so that others can repent and obey the gospel and become a part of this wonderful kingdom. There's a lot of things that we can do. A lot of things that we can take advantage of. But nothing can take the place of preaching faithfully Mother's Old Black Bible. If hard times come, and I believe this country is a powder keg, she could blow apart at any time. And if we had to go underground, we wouldn't be able to take everything we might like to take, but we could take the Word of God. And maybe a persecution would purify the church. And if a persecution and a breakdown of our economy is what it's going to take to purify the church, the sooner we have the breakdown and the sooner we have the purification of the church, the better off we're going to be. I thank God for the preaching of John, who said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And people came down by the thousands and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And he was a powerful man, and they wanted to exalt him. And he said, "I'm not even worthy to tie the shoes of the one that's going to come. He must increase, and I must decrease." And he exalted Christ. And he minimized self. That's what we must do. Exalt Jesus. He alone is the Savior. He alone is the King. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then, I'm thankful that today we can be a part of that wonderful kingdom. Then, thirdly, I want to call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 3. And verse 19, we'll start above that. John the Baptist was known primarily for preaching when it comes to preaching against sin. He preached against the sin of Herod. The Herodian family was wicked down to their heels. They were rotten from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. And Herod, you recall, had gone down, taken his brother Herod Philip's wife and married her and took her away from him. And John the Baptist, as it were, stuck his finger under his nose and said, "You've sinned. It's unlawful for you to do it." We need to call on decent morality in the church and in the nation. But I want to share something else with you, something that is not commonly known in the book of Luke chapter 3 and verse 19. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him, that is, John the Baptist was reproving, John the Baptist was reproving the king. He was reproving the equivalent of the president. Is it right to reprove the president? Is it right to reprove the king? Is it right to reprove someone that says Islam is a peaceful religion? Is it right to reprove someone that compromises Jesus Christ in order to get along with the Jews and the Muslims and the Hindus? Is it right to reprove a Congress that's so ashamed of Jesus that in running for national election, not one of them had the courage to get on the air and say, Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world? Friends, we're denying Christ. Christ is being taken away from us, and judicially and in many other ways, we're rapidly becoming an atheistic state where you can believe and follow any God. But we as Christians know that there's one God and one Father, and His Son Jesus is the only Savior, and there's one Lord, one faith, and bless your heart, one baptism. As I read the rest of this passage, Luke 3:19, but Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Now listen to this. And for all the evils which he had done. And so, you talk about a courageous preacher. You talk about a preacher that had cement in his backbone. I don't know what kind of a seminar preacher he would be, or what kind of a symposium preacher he'd be, or what kind of a ministerial association president he would be. Probably he'd cause havoc every time he went in someplace like that, because he's just liable to call someone a snake and they're not going to be saved unless they repent. He was a loving man, but he preached the truth. He preached against sin. He called sin by its first name, and he condemned Herod for his immorality and for all of his other sins. Then we have the responsibility to reprove sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sins shall die. The Bible says be sure your sins will find you out. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And not only did John the Baptist preach repentance and the kingdom of God and preach against sin, he also pointed people to Jesus. That was his primary emphasis, pointing people to Jesus. Don't look at me. I'm not even worthy to tie the shoes of the one that's coming. He was pointing them to Jesus. And that's our responsibility, to point people to Christ, to Jesus and His doctrine and His teaching. And what a blessed privilege it is to do it in this day and age. We were preaching in the sugar capital of America, down in Clewiston, Florida. The last meeting before we came back up to start our revivals up in this part of the country, I simply tried to preach an old-fashioned, heaven high, hell deep, worldwide, shotgun barrel straight sermon, telling people that they had to hear the gospel to be saved and believe it, and they had to repent of their sins. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then to be baptized, Jesus said, except a man is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And so, in the days of the patriarchs, in the days of Noah, they were saved by water. When they were delivered out of Egyptian bondage, they were baptized unto Moses and saved by water. And the Bible teaches that water is involved today. That's where we come in contact with the blood. We're buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's all that I tried to preach at the revival down at Clewiston. And at invitation time, some senior citizens walked down the aisle. Many of those churches, Tom, that's about all they have, senior citizens. And some of them, I'm 72, but the youngest one sitting on the row. And when the invitation was given, these dear seniors walked down the aisle. The oldest one was 87. He made his confession and was baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. When he came out, he told me that he had been immersed earlier in his life. He had been immersed thinking he was saved first. He had been immersed as an outward working of an inward grace. He had been immersed not to get into Christ, not for the remission of sins, but in order to be added to some church. And he said he came to the conclusion from the Scripture that that wasn't right. And like the situation in the 19th chapter of Acts, he arose along with the others. They were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's millions in this same predicament in America today that have not properly obeyed the Scripture. And it is high time that we started listening to men like John the Baptist who said, "Repent. Get to the kingdom. Let's stand against sin. Let's exalt Jesus. And let's give glory to God." As we close this evening, I'm going to have an old-fashioned, just as I am, invitation. There might be someone here that's never repented and been immersed into Christ for the remission of your sins. Some of you may have backslidden and you need to come back to the Lord. Listening to the preaching of men like old John the Baptist and the apostles. There might be someone here that needs to do what you know you've been needing to do for years. Commit your life to the ministry. The Lord said, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest will bring forth workers. For the harvest is great and the laborers are few." We need workers in God's vineyard. It's wonderful to have an invitation to remind people to obey the gospel. You might be here from far up north, or west, or east, or south, wherever you're from. You can thank God for the invitation that is still open. Jesus has not returned yet. When He returns, the invitation will be closed, but it's open tonight. Why don't you take advantage of this opportunity tonight to do what God would have you to do? God bless you. Will you come as we stand and sing, just as I am? Just as